Hey everyone, welcome to Food Not Bombs Sydney podcast. We have a special episode today with the team from Rock Against Racism here on Gadigal land. We've got Eva, Deb, Brett, Joanne, and I'm also joined by Iron, aka Joe. We're going to chat about Rock Against Racism and in particular for our gig coming up at the Red Rattler Theatre tomorrow. That is February 8th. So first of all, a quick intro. I'll go around the table. Maybe starting with Joe and then getting to the team at Rock Against Racism. So Joe, quick intro.
Yeah, hi, I'm
Yeah.
John.
Oh, sorry, there's two Joes. My goodness.
That's
All right.
We'll go Iron.
Yeah, sure thing. I'm Joe, long-term Rock Against Racism fan from when I was a teenager and first heard about it. Food Not Bombardier, friendly local neighborhood anti-fascist.
Sick.
Pronouns they, them.
Awesome. And Joanne, I feel so bad now that I cut you off.
So I'm Jo, and I've been sort of like an assistant to the original Rock
Committee.
Against Racism committee, but now I've come on board sort of full time now, trying to organise gigs and everything else. So yeah, that's me.
Nice, awesome, and Eva.
Hello, I'm Eva. I call myself Whatever Eva. That's my punk poet persona, and I'm also a lyricist and singer in a punk band called Whatever. And I've joined Rock Against Racism 2 years ago, and I love these guys. I helped to organize one gig before 2 years ago, and this one now.
Amazing, so cool. And we've got Deb, I think, from Memories, the next on this round table.
Yes.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Deb. Well, look, I'm a fan of Evers and the music scene in Sydney. I'm basically into the music. That's basically my thing. But in 1977, I lived in London for 3 years. So I was there at the beginning of the Rock Against Racism movement. And I happened to meet Red Saunders, who was one of the organisers, and Sid Shelton, who was the unofficial photographer of all the Rock Against Racism gigs, mainly the big one at where we marched from Trafalgar Square to Victoria Park in Hackney, which was the epicenter of the Nazi the Nazi people that from the East End who were causing a lot of trouble in London at the time. There were It was a terrible time, actually. It was quite bleak. Music brought us all together, but there were bashings and stabbings and murders of black people and Asians, and it was shocking. And I think Rock Against Racism, apart from the obvious stories that we hear about Eric Clapton and David Bowie doing Nazi salutes and all the rest of it. Which Eric Clapton, I don't think, has ever apologized for
No,
his part in
hasn't.
it. I think David Bowie did pretty
Yeah.
well immediately.
Yeah. And Richard Clapton is a Trump supporter as well.
Eric Clapton.
Sorry, Eric
I would say
Clapton. Don't
Richard.
say Richard.
You can call him Dick.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went to we marched to this beautiful carnival. It started off in Trafalgar Square. There were about 10,000 people there, which we thought was pretty good. By the time we got there, it had swelled to at least 100,000, and it was The Clash and X-Ray Spex, Tom Robinson Band.
Amazing.
Yeah, and Sid was the photographer, and he was on stage taking photos, the classic Clash photos that you've probably seen. And his photos are actually, he sent them out. Because I'm still friends with him, and he sent them out to us to screen at the gig at the Red Rattler tomorrow night, so they'll be fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's so cool.
Next.
And we've got Brett as well, if you don't mind introducing yourself, Brett.
Brett.
Hi, yeah, I'm Brett. I'm back in, was it 2019? We had the Cronulla riots and in Sydney here, and then that was followed by the right wing attack in Wellington in at the mosque. At that point, I thought to myself, we've got to do something about this. This is fucked. and I was right into, I've been a big follower of like the Rock Against Racism thing since I was involved with socialists back in the 90s. I was a skinhead in the 80s. So yeah, and I used to know a lot of right wing people as well, by the way, in my history, but I never endorsed or always condoned racism, of course. But yeah, well, I was involved with race Sharp for a while as well. So when it first came in, but so what happened is, yeah, we decided to do something about it. I talked to Heather, she's the bar manager at the Miracle Bolo, and she was interested. And I got Ben on board from Ben Eady. He's playing tomorrow night He's in Rubbernecker. Yeah. So we got those guys together and we did quite a number of gigs. I think it was about 3 or 4 gigs. I'll just run them by you now, actually, if you want. Mm-hmm. The first one we did was on the 14th of September. It was the regime. We had a...
That was
14th of September 2019. Cool. We had... that's our, like, initial gig that we did. Anyway, so the regime, Black Douglas, was he did Welcome to Country, Syntax Error, which is also Ben's band, the Oscars, Los Monaros, On the Stoop, Southwest Syndicate, Cosmogenics, Baraja Barugas, and Pacific Island Dreams Dancers, which were fantastic. They're Cook Island Dancers. We had them on the Greens, yeah, which is really good. And the DJs were the Crimplings. Now, the money for that, we collected, I think it was $4,000.
Yeah.
And the money went to Indigenous Social Justice Alliance and to the Refugee Action Coalition for that, yeah. The next thing that we did was we did Grassroots, which was when the bushfires came out, yeah. And we had a whole bunch of bands in that, like, Dog Trumpet, which is the guys from Metal's Anything. Yep. The Two Johnnies from the Johnnies, Operation Ibis, the Mescal Tones, Los Monaros, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. So quite a few bands there. And the money went to some organisations that were helping.
Grassroots.
Yeah, grassroots organisations. Part of it went to the Mogo First Nation communities. For the rangers out there who basically lost their entire museum of historical items in the bushfires, so all their a lot of their culture got burnt to the ground, basically, which has really sucked. We gave money to the firefighters' families and to WIRES in that. And the next thing that we did, because unfortunately COVID hit and Black Lives Matter came along, which was really good. I was a bit annoyed because, you know, Black Lives Matter were taking a bit of our light, you know. Only joking. So we did we got together and we did a thing called Sydney Underground
Streaming
Service. Yeah. SUS. And we did a Rock Against Racism there because we thought, like, we couldn't really, because of the COVID environment, I was sort of like, it was a bit of a bummer, really, because, like, we really wanted to keep on building the movement, if you know what I mean, into sort of like something similar to what happened in the UK, and quite a carnival sort of type experience. But COVID sort of knocked it on the head, so we did this, like, which was like an in-house thing, and you could watch it at home, pay some money, and you could watch it at home on the TV and have a few drinks and whatever. And the money would go to again ISJA, which is in Dutch. Indigenous Social Justice Alliance, which is Black Lives Matter. Oh, sorry, which is Black Deaths in Custody, and the other one was for RAC, the Refugee Action Coalition. So, yeah. Yes. And then after that, what we've done, another gig.
Well, it was with, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
All the young bands. Miracle Bolo.
Miracle Bolo.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was with Creeping Jenny.
Creeping Jenny, yeah.
Brett from the All-Nighters.
Yeah. He had a bit to do with it. Brett Patterson, he's the lead singer from the All-Nighters. They had a big hit back in the 80s called Montego Bay, as well as couple of others. I was very big in the ska scene in Sydney and in Australia at the time. I played with Minerals Anything and all those bands, you know, like the, yeah. So they were quite...
This event actually was full of young bands, very young artists. So it was Liquid Zoo, Creeping Jenny, and Boys at the Back. It was just a small gig, only three bands, because the Maripil Bowl doesn't let the bands come in now before 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so you cannot do festivals there anymore.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's such a great space.
Mm. Yeah. But the initial one, sorry, if we go back to that, like it was really good because people were coming and going, and were able to get, at that time, 2019, we were able to get a lot of people through the door because, you know, it was pre-COVID and people were just like, we got such a great rapport from it about what a wonderful day the whole thing was, like, and everyone enjoyed every aspect of it. We ran a little bit behind time, but that was about the only issue. We had a few problems with coordinating the bands because of some speeches that we have from the different organisations involved, but overall it just went down really well. So, yeah, it's just the COVID things really sort of knocked things on the head a little bit for us. So we're still trying to, yeah, we're regathering at the moment, if you know what I mean, to, yeah, get back on board and do some stuff. Yeah. Get out there again.
Yeah, build it back up. Yeah. And there was one last year as well, I heard.
Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah.
There was the gig was in 2023, I believe. Oh, no, 2020. Yeah, 2023.
Yeah.
The one before. And then it's tomorrow, which I basically started to organize just as a fundraiser for the Women and Girls Emergency Center in Redfern. And, you know, as a private person, I cannot possibly organize it myself as I don't have ABN or something. So I ask my friends and buddies, brothers and sisters from Rock Against Racism, if they could shield this gig. So it's not actually the Rock Against Racism per se gig as we would all organize it together. It's sort of like one wing. I just started to do it with another two of my girlfriends and said, please, like, could we do it on the Rock Against Racism?
It's a bit autonomous.
Yeah. I was just saying to Dan earlier that, you know, the last gig that I went to of yours where the Own Guns were playing seemed very kind of like hardcore and skinhead punk focused, which I love personally. Mm-hmm. But this one seems to have a lot more of a focus on kind of like female artists and, you know, raising money for a women's shelter, and it's being organized by women. It's really cool to see that.
Yeah, I was just like, I just getting a little bit more and more outraged with the misogynist raising in the world, you know?
Mm.
And I just think it needs to be voiced and needs to be seen that it's not going to stand. That's sort of like, you know, I was just thinking, like, I have to choose one one thing to support and do it, you know, properly, do something about it, and then maybe just move on another again, you know.
Yeah, with the rise of the right wing moment.
Yeah, it's Trump just threatening.
And, Putin and bloody Israel and everything else going on, like, yeah, they're having a little field show at the moment. And what's his name? Tate. It's not good. Yeah,
The emergency center in Redfern is quite an amazing place, from what I can gather. You know, I mean, they're how many women have been killed this last year? Like one every 3 days or something.
Yeah, 101.
Yeah, so it's quite you know, severe, and apparently 200 women and girls are brought into this centre every night.
But it's not only exclusive for women; it could be any gender or any sex,
any
you
gender,
know.
Yeah,
so
true.
They are not like the you know, some of the old feminists who don't support diversity. So they're good people.
They're great people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was very important to us that they were, you know, trans friendly.
Yeah.
As part of this, because we understand that there is an issue sometimes with domestic violence and women's shelters, you know, like, because they're safe spaces for women, that they have problems with trans people. And, yeah, we wanted to make sure that trans are allies, you know, as far as we're concerned. And, I understand, like, I think it's one thing, like, I understand the trauma when you're going through? I mean, I have an understanding. I've never experienced, of course, you know, what they've been through, et cetera. But I think once the dust settles, you've got to realise that we're allies and we're here together to support each other. And that's what this is really all about, more than racism. It's about inclusion. You know?
Also, the number 101, it doesn't necessarily mean that the women were killed by male, you know, perpetrator or aggressor. It could, they could be killed also by women or somebody else. Or there's also children included in the number.
Solidarity across the multiple, the whole kind of gender and queer kind of spectrum. Yeah. And now is the best time, if any time was the best time for addressing misogyny. And we're all for autonomous groups here at Food Not Bombs with our fellow anarchist kind of leanings. So maybe I think it'd be useful to get a bit of the history behind Rock Against Racism. So maybe I'll put you on the spot, Deb, if you don't mind.
Australian?
Let's go the origin story.
London.
Yeah, let's travel a bit. And then maybe move from there towards Ireland.
Okay. So we go Australian, you're Rock Against Racism? Okay.
No, London.
London, sorry, you start from
you'll
the
You'll be next,
yeah, go on. Back to the,
Look, I met the crew maybe a year after it had started, so I wasn't there at the start at all.
What year was that?
Well, I was there 77 to, early 77 to late 79, and this all started mid-76. And it was in response to not Richard Clapton.
Eric Clapton.
Eric. It's in my head now.
Yeah, a lawsuit against it. So.
Yeah. but the, you know, the climate at the time, it was when I think 77 was the year of the Queen's Silver Jubilee.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And anyone walking around with a mohawk and makeup, you know, and weird dressing was thought of as treachery, you know. It was against the government, and there was a lot of violence. Racism was enormous, but you know, poverty was it wasn't a great place to live in those early 70s, mid 70s. So I guess they, you know, all the bashings and, you know, serious racism was addressed by this group of people that just had enough. They put out a magazine called Temporary Hoarding, and you know, and people were contributing to that stories and the philosophy of socialism and how capitalism had come in, and Enoch Powell and, you know, all the political situation at the time. I knew Sid, you know, he was my friend, the photographer, and he actually started in Sydney, funnily enough. Well, he started working in Sydney. He was from Pontefract where's Pontefract? Some outside London. And he came out to Sydney in, I think, 73. And he worked for the Digger underground paper and the Nation Review, and he was covering things like the waterfront, the gentrification of Woolloomooloo. He worked on the Block, not the television show The Block. Redfern's Aboriginal community, yes, and he was more of a portrait taker, and he would capture these amazing photos of people just marginalised mostly, and though, you know, honestly, I've got his book sitting on the table here, Rock Against Racism, and the photos in it,
they're brilliant.
They're so powerful. The look on those faces, looking straight at his camera, I don't know, he really got something out of you know, his subjects. And so I knew him then, and, you know, obviously I hung around and went to the concerts. I went to a few Rock Against Racism concerts, but the big one was the the massive carnival in 78 with the Clash, and it was fabulous to see, you know, Misty on from Roots was on his lorry, sort of with all these people behind it, marching down just with their flags and...
tens of thousands of people, wasn't it?
Yes, tens of thousands. Yeah. You know, they say 100,000, but I've read 150,000, you know how it goes.
If you include all the other carnivals that spread across England after that, it would end up involving millions of people, I think.
Absolutely.
Easily, yeah.
You know, it's continued to this day, you know. It's marvellous, really, to think that...
Yeah, well, you guys are doing it. Well done.
And that lovely little... I'm wearing the badge now, the original badge. You know, the little five-point star with, you know, black and white and... Black and white unite, you know. It's really, really nice.
If you don't mind me drawing out some perhaps common themes with what's going on today with what was going on in, you know, 76 when Rock Against Racism started, just for, you know, our audience who are a lot of young people who are, you know, getting into politics. There were very similar drivers as far as I can see, and you would agree on that, you know, 76 in the UK had a cost of living crisis driven by the kind of like oil crisis and unemployment associated by that. We don't have unemployment here, but we've definitely got a cost of living crisis driven by inflation.
So do we.
Yeah. Made people, especially the working classes, you know, really angry and alienated because, you know, the quality of their life was going down. They felt like they didn't have a future. And there were politicians like Enoch Powell, which for our younger listeners is very much like a Nigel Farage or a Pauline Hanson figure, essentially dividing people through racism, saying that, you know, you can have a house and a job. We've just got to kick the immigrants out, prevent them arriving, because they're the ones taking your jobs and your housing. It's immigration's fault, essentially.
Well, look, let's face it, it's all happening again. So the wheel is turning around
exactly.
to a bad situation again. It's really
Groundhog
sad.
Day.
Groundhog Day, you know, you can go so far and then, you know, power and money just takes over and off they go to destroy what's been built up before.
Yeah. And so, like, one of the, you know, best responses to that kind of really predatory and, you know, destructive, ultimately kind of like murderous rhetoric of racism is to just stand up and say no and present people with kind of like one of the best products of multiculturalism, which is music.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I just wanted to say I saw this written somewhere which made me a little chuckle. They call it Schrodinger immigrant simultaneously taking your job and it's too lazy to work.
Yeah.
Music as a vehicle, as a tool for showing the working class, showing young people, showing disenfranchised people alternatives and better ways forward and a form of resistance as well to oppression such as racism. And you can really clearly see that and how it's traveled all the way across the world to our lands over here. So maybe if we then link it from its London origins to in Australia, what was the story there? We've heard a little bit from you, Brett, already with the 2019, it kind of revived. Was that?
So
all the punk bands came out from London to Australia, didn't they? The Damned and
I just wasn't quite too sure how it all lines up because I spoke to Brett Patterson last night and he said that they did the All-Nighters did a Rock Against Racism thing and he thought it was the first one in Sydney. So like as I guess coming off the UK thing, that they had heard about that and they decided to do it here, you know, yeah. So, and he said he did the first one here, as far as he knows. I think it was 1980. But then, I'll wait there. He said maybe 82, I think. Okay, so it wasn't. He said they did a Rock Against Racism in the steps of the Sydney Uni. It was huge and covered by all the news channels. There was a lot of opposition to it and at the time and some NA skins, so National Action skins, disrupted. I think it was the first one in Oz. At That's what he thought. But from my from what I understand, I think the first one was in Melbourne, and it was started by two organisations. It was formed in Fitzroy jointly by Care Campaign, which was Campaign Against Racial Exploitation, and the Fitzroy Aboriginal Community. And they had a gig on the 30th of March 1980 at Story Hall. I think a lot of stuff went down at Story Hall, actually. There was just a number of bands at the time. Looks like Major Matchbox, Lucky Dog, Hard Times, Sweet Jane. That would have been, just bands at the time, I guess.
Major Matchbox were quite big.
Captain Matchbox. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're still,
Mick
Conway is still
right
there.
I saw him at Walker.
Sure.
Yeah. There was another gig at South Club, which was in, That was in Brisbane, I think, in relation to, there was the Commonwealth Games in 1980. Now, bands again with Knuckles, Bapu Mamoose, Dennis Colvin, and the Magpies, and I believe they were all Aboriginal bands.
Amazing.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, yeah. And that was at the Commonwealth Games to try and, like, basically to bring highlight the fact that we have racism in this country in relation to the way we treat our Indigenous people, etc. So that was, yeah.
Fixed Address have been playing for 50 years.
Yep.
But Willoughby, the drummer writer, is, you know, his lyrics are all politically.
Yeah, there was, Rock Against Racism, No Fixed Address, Red Gum, Hunters and Collectors, so really big bands. That was on the 25th of September 1980, I think.
Hunters and Collectors, like, yeah. Throw your arms around me, Hunters and Collectors.
Yes.
Yeah. That was that, eh? Yeah.
No way.
So that was those guys as well. Now, also another thing which they did as well is they went to the elders at Uluru and they got permission to use the Uluru on the Rock Against Racism badge, so it was quite different to the star that they use. I've got a picture of it here, but I can't show you, unfortunately, yet. But it's basically yellow. It's the colours like yellow, red, and black. It's yellow at the top. Uluru's in red, and then in the black section, it's got Rock Against Racism. Yeah,
hell yeah.
I got that off a friend of mine down in Melbourne who gave it to me, so that was pretty cool. He was there. He's about your vintage too. So he was there when all that was going down. Another thing which is, you know, a bit of nostalgia as well, I guess you could say. When you look at the Goanna,
I've got the original badges here, actually.
And she's got an anti-Nazi league badge as well. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
I've got the pink and black. Sorry, interrupting.
That's all right. Anyway, Goanna, Solid Rock. If you go on YouTube and you type Goanna Solid Rock Countdown, you'll see that the lead singer, Joe?
Goanna?
Okay, don't worry. It's all good. Shame. Okay, so the lead singer out of Goanna, he's wearing the Rock Against Racism badge, the one which I just mentioned to you with the Uluru stuff in it. So that was all done officially and with
Shane Howard.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Shane.
Yeah, sorry. It's had a mental blank there. So he wore that in the, like, actually on stage on national television, which is really good to see, you know what I mean? So they had a fair bit of support there from not only just local Indigenous bands, local street, pub bands, but also mainstream sort of type stuff as well going on. And Strange Tenants were also involved with it. They were a Melbourne ska band, as well as the All Nighters. And
I was a fashion model in the 70s and 80s, and every opportunity, you know, and I'd do some fashion shots, I'd put on my Rock Against Racism badge on the side and hope they'd notice.
I love it. You were sneaking it in.
Sneaking it in.
Good on you. Yeah, she's got a fighter who did that.
Dell's anti-racist action. Love it. In fashion magazines. Teen Vogue was doing a great job of that, but that's a different story. I don't want to sidetrack that. Yeah, we should probably turn towards kind of like, you know, how people, because we've got about another 15 minutes to go on the podcast.
Okay.
Like the organization of Rock Against Racism, how people can get involved. Because from the sounds of it and from the kind of like breadth of gigs that you've been putting together recently, like I know my mate Lindsay's band Sunstalkers is playing. So they're kind of like, you know, psychedelic Janis Joplin influenced folk stuff. You've got Operation Ibis as well. So that's, you know, Scar. The previous gig was very kind of like hardcore focused.
It's a mishmash. Whoever yes is in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like one gig was very much kind of like an anti-fascism focused gig. This one's very focused on kind of like women and women's shelters and protecting.
Like my band, whatever. We are very, very anarcho and anti-system. Punk band, so it's not all the same, and Rabenek is also different, and a gypsy punk, you know, heavy rock, the first band, Wicked Envy,
so
all different style, you know,
and poets.
Operation Ibis have made stands too, not playing with certain bands sometimes, which been a little bit obscure about their politics and seem to be leaning a bit towards the right. So they've made some stuff, which have been very good, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me started on kind of like the extreme rights infiltration of the Sydney black metal scene. I can talk for hours about that.
It's a bit like that, yeah. And so,
yeah. Fuck that, sorry. But yeah, it does sound like quite a parallel to Food Not Bombs, where like you've got this kind of like organizational model, like let's get bands together and oppose racism, but all sorts of different things can plug in. Like it can be a fundraiser for kind of like women's shelters or a fundraiser for anti-fascist causes, much like, you know, Food Not Bombs, you know, we've supported kind of like, you know, union protests, climate marches, you know, protests in solidarity with Palestine and Lebanon, all of that kind of stuff. Is it a similar sort of organization where people are just free to get involved, and if they're interested in organizing gigs?
Absolutely.
They can more autonomous. We did run a thing originally a bit more like it had a committee and everything went through the committee, but these days I think it's better like people do their own thing, you know, I'm wrong with it. Yeah, so, and we just get money coming back into a central bank account, and then we can like look after logistics and on a funding for different things if we need to, you know, stuff like that through the account.
So I think anybody could join, you know, and anybody could organize the organization gig as well if they're going to follow the rules, anti-racist rules, basically, you know, not to have people who are actually right-wing fascists playing at those gigs, you know, or misogynists or racists, you can't have that. Otherwise, you know, anyone can organize a gig. Anyone can be part of Rock Against Racism.
Yeah, I believe the original Rock Against Racism, like with Madness, some of the roadies were in the National Front. It was quite, it became sort of almost normalized to join the National Front, I think, in some ways in England back in those days. It was like, even black people would join the National Front. It was a bit strange.
Jesus.
Yeah. Just to feel like you're part of something, I think, more than supporting the actual cause, you know what I mean? My mates are doing it, so I'll do it too. And, I remember some of the roadies were kicked out of Against Racism with Madness. Yeah.
Yeah?
Which is just one of those stories, yeah. But they didn't realise, I guess. I don't know, yeah.
Ignorance.
Yeah, ignorance, I guess, a little bit, yeah. But they were definitely anti-racist. Embarrassment and all those sort of songs. Very
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So if I was kind of like, you know, a young musician or political organiser or budding gig organiser, and I wanted to connect up with the folk at Rock Against Racism, learn how to do something, throw a gig, learn how to put a gig together, how would I go about doing that?
You're probably going to contact Brett.
yeah, contact me or
and we can always like help as well, you know. We can just pitch the idea if you want to organize it yourself.
We've got a Facebook page.
You know, so just contact us.
Contact us to the Facebook page.
And you can be sure that, like what I did with this gig, basically, you know, I said, could we do it under Rock Against Racism, because it's just too big for doing it for as a private person. But yeah. I should mention that I'm not organizing the gig myself only. Also Kelly, you know, Lindsay from Sunstalkers and Anna Shea, San German, who's in Meshki, is organizing it with me. So it's not like a one woman, it's three of us who are organizing the main show. And then my brothers and sisters from Rock Against Racism are going to do the hard work there as well, door and do help with, you know, on the floor and stuff.
Yeah, I've got badges and stickers and t-shirts and yeah.
Because you always need lots of people for gigs, you know, on the floor to help.
Yeah.
Also, I can link the Facebook page on the show notes of this episode. So if people are interested in finding out more or organizing another gig, I think that'd be really cool for some of the listeners who are involved.
Yeah, send us through the contact details, and we'll chuck in the show notes for the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. And maybe if we give a bit of a promo for tomorrow, it's so soon, far out, time flies. Let's go. So we've heard a little bit about it already, Eva. If you don't mind sharing a bit more about what tomorrow is for and where people can get tickets, how can we go?
Okay, so the tickets you can find a poster with a ticket link on Red Rattler website or Rock Against Racism Facebook page or on my whatever ever Facebook page. It's all over the place. We've done quite a good job. So it's in Red Rattler, starts at 4 o'clock and finishes at actually 2 o'clock.
2 a.m.
So it's going to be a 2 big right. event, yeah.
It's a festival, really.
The last band's finishing at 1, and then it's going to be an hour for everybody to go home. So, but we're starting about 4:20. It's going to be our brother Les Beckett doing the opening ceremony, smoking ceremony, and he's going to play some ditch. And then Deb's coming on. She's the MC, the mistress of ceremony.
Madam.
And we have some artists with just short performances, 5-10 minutes. We're going to have Joe from Food Not Bombs telling us.
That's me.
Yes.
Yeah. Izzy will be joining me as well.
Yeah, a little speech. With your friend, some young one.
Izzy. She's a firecracker.
Oh, great. So we have some speeches, and then we have the short performances by Alice Well, Rosemary Sisters, Melita Rosten, Samovar, Lucy, and myself, whatever ever. I'm just going to have about 5 minutes. And then at 6 o'clock, we start with the bands Wicked and We, which, as I said, it's a heavy rock band. Then Meshki goes on. It's a gypsy punk band. Then,
awesome.
Yeah, Sunstalkers, what you described. I asked Lindsay what it is, and she couldn't say. So what did you say they are playing?
I said she's very much kind of like psychedelic folk.
Yeah.
With psychedelic rock. She's a psychedelic girl. That's why she couldn't describe it.
And then we have Oscars on. And Oscars are ska and reggae. And my band, whatever, as I said, it's a punk rock anarcho band. Then we go to have raffles. I ask lots of people if they can donate some stuff to raffles. And we try to raise extra money for the charity by selling the raffle tickets. So we have like 3 cases of beer. We have tickets to Dandy. We have $100 from Harris Farms. We have artwork by our friends, Prince, beautiful Prince from Maria Pia. We have a poetry book. I don't know if any punk would be interested in poetry book, but maybe you can give it as a present.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, massage. There's a Rock Against Racism merch, you know, from the bands.
My homemade chocolates.
Homemade chocolates, apparently, we're getting. That's awesome. So that's going to happen quarter to 11. And then we have Operation Ibison, Ska, and Punk together. I love the guys. Mm-hmm. And then Rabeneka, punk band with the amazing Renee Fales as a singer and front woman. And that's going to be it. But what I have to say, the most awesome food, not bombs, are going to feed everybody at the event. So you think
we'll try our best.
from 4 o'clock till 1 o'clock, how I'm going to survive? Do I have to go to Marikville Bolo to have a burger? No, stay in, have a food, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I reckon that I'm gonna try and make some awesome fried rice. It'll be totally vegan as well.
Yes, absolutely vegan. We don't want meat. We don't want anybody to
be upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, vegan food is anti-racist food because it's halal. It is kosher. It's everything.
That's great. We love it. Thank you so much, guys, for it. The tickets are $35. People are saying, no, you should have made it $25. I was like, oh, come on. You know, how many hours is actually there, the entertainment? 9 hours or something? But we did the pre-sale, the early bird, which is 30, and then we have for people on low income, $25 option. So if you know, and if someone turns up and they don't have money, we're never going to turn anybody down anyway.
Fantastic.
And will ask me, could I just pay $10? I said, of course you can. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Don't broadcast that too loudly.
They're not going to hear it, I think, today.
And proceeds for donations to the Women's and Girls Emergency Centre in Redfern.
We just chose them because we are thinking, you know, Redfern Centre, they're doing such a great job there and they need the money. So we just chose them randomly, to be honest. But, yeah, they give shelter to 200 women and night.
There'd be a lot of indigenous people.
Yeah, and you know, and they're doing an amazing job, you know. So we're thinking, yeah, let's do that.
Super exciting for tomorrow, coming so soon. Yeah. Maybe to round off this episode, and I'm sure there's going to be part 2, 3, 4 in future. Let's go around the room. Why is it so important for Rock Against Racism in our community? If you could give one main reason. So as everyone's thinking, I'll put Joe Iron on the spot.
Just because, if racism is allowed to persist in our communities, we are fucked. Like, that is fascist endgame, really. They will extract wealth and slave labor through kind of like imprisonment and low-level wages from us by dividing us and getting us to fight against each other and persecute minorities. Until they come for you, you know, there's that poem. So it's really important when racism kind of like rises up in the political rhetoric around you to stand up and say, no, not accepted here. These are my friends. We're in this together. And look, we can create some incredible art together.
So well said. Yeah. And maybe I'll go Joanne next. Joe? Other Joe?
I just think that, you know, we are all one race. We're all human beings. And we all should be looking after one another.
Yep.
All should be a massive big community and there should be no discrimination whatsoever.
Yep. Fighting against that.
What the colour of your skin or what sex you are or even with religion. I'm not a religious person, but if that brings some sort of happiness to someone, I'm quite happy with that as long as it's not projected onto other people and then turned around if you're not religious then you're going to hell, which again is a form of discrimination. But you know what I mean? Like, we are all one group of people and we all should be supporting one another, looking after one another.
Nice. And
so racism, it's probably one of the most evil things on this planet.
So I think it just doesn't make any sense, and it's been made up by white people who been suppressing other people for ages, and this is not 1930s anymore, so fuck off. This world is supposed to be just for everybody, and stop your agenda, you rich white old man. You know, stop your agenda. We're not going to stand. We disagree with that, and that's why we're going to just show you that we don't want it.
Yeah,
you know, that's it. Oh, yeah. That's what I think.
Amazing. Well, the movement is called Rock Against Racism. So I say, everybody, close your eyes, listen to the music, and it doesn't matter who's playing, whether they're black or white, what area of life they come from, whether they're marginalised, whatever. We all love the music, and we come together as one through the music.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Brett?
I think, yeah. The reason why I started it, a couple of years ago, I didn't start it, but restarted it for God knows how many times it's been started all around the world, but I thought that is a great conduit. Music brings people together no matter what. It's a common thing. Cultures dance, all people dance, all people come together through music. So I think it's a good, it's a great thing, a positive thing for change. You know, music and politics together are fantastic forces, the brilliant force. It's taught me more about politics than anything else, I think, when I was younger, I was into the AC/DC and stuff like that then, and, you know, all the 80s sort of type bands, Minerals, anything, stuff like that. But when I heard, Madness, The Specials, stuff like that, it got me. I like the music, two-tone era. Yeah, when I first got into that, I thought, I love the music, and then I got more into the politics. And I think that's the whole point. It's a good – it could be a premise for resistance, you know. I mean, one of the many paths that we could take, you know, as far as people's concerned, just to pull that bond together, you know, to bond people and make people understand each other's culture rather than be scared of it, especially, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that, because this – we have common understanding. We understand we have common ground, and that's the common ground is what we need, which is the best thing for resistance. You know what I mean? Not this thing about, I don't like LGBTIQ or all the, Aboriginals are lazy or some shit like that. You know, you don't need this bullshit. You know, we don't need to hear this. When you actually meet people and listen to real experiences, real lived experiences, that's where you can, you know, I think that's the best way to gain your knowledge.
They want us to be divided, but we have to unite. United we stand.
Bingo.
Divided we fall.
That's so. It.
One big union. Nice word. On that note, I'm very conscious that Dan needs to head off. So shall we wrap up that?
We shall. That was amazing. And music as unity, if they were the final words. Very exciting to join forces, Food Not Bombs and Rock Against Racism, hopefully as many more to come in the future. Thank you all for your time. Got the whole crew out.
Thank you.
We started with one ever, and then you brought everyone. Love that. Says something. And
thank you.
Cool.
Until next time.
Much love and solidarity. Gotcha.
Thank you. Solidarity.